Father God, we do worship your holy name. We thank you, Father, for everything that you've done in our midst. And Father God, we thank you for each and every person that's here tonight and each and every person that's watching us online. And we thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for their life, and they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. But we thank you, Father, tonight as we go to study your word. We thank you that your word will not return void, but that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But we thank you that most of all, that we'll take the word that we hear and we'll go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And we thank you tonight that we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. And we thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us and leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But we thank you most of all for your anointing that's present tonight. And we stir that anointing up. We stir it up on the inside. And we thank you, Father, that your anointing will saturate us and change us in an instant, Father. And Father God, we thank you for mom and dad and as I've been doing meetings in Europe. And we thank you, Father, as they're coming home for safe travels. And we thank you for giving them rest and relaxation. And we thank you for everything that they accomplished there. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. So just kind of let you know, since Sunday, mom and dad, they had a couple of services in Athens. They met with some of our alumni and some other pastors on Sunday night. And on Monday night, they had a healing service. And then also they did some sightseeing there in Athens. Then they went to visit Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea. And that's where they're staying actually in Thessalonica right now. And tomorrow they're going to fly to Malta and meet with some Rhema grad and some pastors there, have a luncheon and then see some sights there and then start headed back. I think they spend the night actually tomorrow night in Ireland, I believe. And then they're headed back and they'll be back here in Tulsa on Friday night sometime or Friday afternoon sometime. I haven't looked exactly what their schedule says, but they'll be here Sunday already. I'm sure they'll have some videos, some testimonies and things. And I know if you want to see a few pictures, I know mom has put some pictures and some video and stuff on her Facebook. Dad hasn't put anything on his Facebook, but you know. And in fact, it's kind of interesting because almost every picture is just dad because mom's the one taking the pictures or the video. So she's not in that many pictures. So I guess that's happened. Whenever you become the cameraman, you're never in the pictures. That's why here at Rhema, we have no pictures of Phil Anglin because he's always taking all the pictures. So anyway, if you have your Bibles tonight, turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. We're going to look at the New King James Version. John chapter 5, starting with verse number 1. I like to read some, I call them stories, but they actually happen. They're more than a story. When you say a story, it kind of sounds like, well, it's just a little story. But things that actually happen in the Bible, and I like to actually think about and analyze, you know, think about what was going on and different things like that. So here in John chapter 5, chapter 1, it says, John 5, 1 says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches, and these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him and said, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." And immediately the man was made well, and hang on. I think I'm skipping a verse here. Yeah, it says, Jesus said to him, "Arise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. Sorry, because I had highlighted it with put it on a different page and I missed a verse. So the most important verse when Jesus said, get up. But you know, I want to kind of think about this and set, you know, kind of set the scene, because a lot of times, you know, we hear a story, we don't think about the scene. So, you know, there was a big pool. Now, I don't know how big the pool was. It said they had five porches, but it doesn't tell us how big the porches was, so we don't really know. But it does say there's a multitude of people. So it seems like it was a pretty big pool. So what I like to do is kind of imagine things, and I kind of imagine a wave pool at a water park, all right? Has anyone ever been to a water park and seen a wave pool? Anybody? A few of you? Well, if you've never been to one, we have a water park here in Tulsa. Go check it out. There's a thing called a wave pool. And if you've ever been to a wave pool, that what happens is usually about every half an hour, there's a bell that rings. And as soon as the bell rings, the water begins to be stirred, and it creates waves. And it's interesting, sometimes in the pool, there are some people in the pool before there's waves, but whenever the waves start, people immediately start getting in the pool because they want to be in the pool when there's waves. Now, I will tell you, if you go to a water park and there's waves and the water is being stirred, that doesn't mean you're going to get healed or anything, okay? That just means that there's waves. Now, don't do what I did. In fact, I think it's even been outlawed at some water parks now, but first time I ever went to the water park, you know, I've been to many oceans and things, and I'm actually a certified scuba diver, so you know, what's a little wave here and there? So first time I ever went to a water park, and I believe it was like 11 feet deep at the deepest part. And so when the wave started, I figured, well, I was actually kind of lounging there in the sun, and I happened to be close to the deep end, and in order to go to the shallow end, that was a long way away, so who cares, I'm just going to just jump in the deep end. Well, what happened was, as soon as you jump in and you come up for air, well, as soon as I came up for air, a wave hit me. And about the time that I caught my breath again, another wave hit me, and then another wave. Finally, I was able to get to the side and hold on to the side, you know, and was able to get to where I was. And then I just realized that I'd been in the ocean many times, but I always started at the shallow end. Nobody ever jumps in normally in the deep end of an ocean. And if you do, because I guess when you do go scuba diving, you got, I guess, jump in the deep end, but I don't jump in the deep end when there's a bunch of waves coming and hit me on the head. All right? You kind of plan when to jump in, in this situation, you're planning to get by a wave. So I'm just giving you a word of advice. If you ever go to a water park, don't jump into the deep end when the waves are going, because you're not going to get healed, but you might drown. All right? So it has nothing to do with Jesus' story, but just want to give you a word of advice sometimes. You know, never know what kind of good advice you'll get when you come to church. Might save your life. Who knows? Anyway, but the point is that every once in a while, the waters were stirred. So it wasn't like going to a water park knowing every hour that somebody's going to get healed. They have no clue. I mean, the Bible doesn't tell us that there's a certain water stirring season, you know, where it happens once a day, or doesn't tell us. So I don't know if it was a random, it might happen today, it might happen tomorrow, or if it was on a kind of schedule, once a week it happened. I don't know. I don't know any of the rules. All I know is that a bunch of people, it says multitudes. You realize multitudes is a bunch of people? You want to see a multitude of people? Go to the fireworks show at Disney World, and afterwards, you'll see a multitude of people. Probably during this thing, you'll see multiple people, but everyone's woken up the fireworks. But afterwards, there's all these people trying to get out of the park or whatever. So to me, a multitude means a lot of people. Now, these are a multitude of sick people. Now, I don't know if they had rules that means, you know, that said, well, you have to be this sick in order to get in. Because think about this. I mean, you know, the first guy in or the first person in gets healed. So, you know, the guy that has a broken arm, he's going to get healed a lot faster than the guy that can barely move. You know, so, I mean, I don't know if they're rules, because it doesn't say that they're rules, but I guess I've never been to a pool that didn't have rules of some sort and kind, so I'm assuming they had some kind of rules. I don't know what they were. I don't know if the rules were you are allowed to camp overnight or not allowed to, I don't know. But all I do know is there's a guy that was there for a long time, 38 years. 38 years. So how many in this room are 38 years old or younger? 38 years. Raise your hand if you're 38 years old or younger. So this guy was sick for at least your lifetime, or maybe longer.
Now, I'm getting ready to turn 50, so, you know, he was sick for almost as old as I am, you know, but 12 years younger than me. It's a long time. 38 years. And in order to, think about this, going to school, now, let's say if you, from grade one all the way through graduated from high school, that's 12 years. Do that three times and you still haven't equaled 38. All right? It's a long time. It's a long time. And it's a real long time whenever you're hurting. Now, I don't know how long this man was sitting at the pool, but I believe he was probably there a long time, maybe years. And it's interesting because basically this man had no chance to be the first one in. No chance. But he also knew his only chance that he knew about to get healed was to try to be the first one in. And so, I'm sure he sat there. He might have been there all 38 years. I don't know. I don't know if he was 38 years old. I don't know if, the disease came upon him at a certain time. I just know 38 years is a long time. Now, sometimes when we think about things in the Bible, we don't think about time. We don't think about what's going on. We don't put ourselves in that situation. But if you put yourself in a situation hurting, agonizing for 38 years, and every time the opportunity came for you to get healed, because I'm sure many times he was probably there and the water stirred. That water stirred, it's my chance to jump in. And he can't be the first one. Well, I'll get him next time. And I'm assuming that, probably because this is a pool and they probably have, rules, that they probably had a little line that says everyone must be behind this line. I don't know, because it doesn't make sense, because if there was one guy that was like, 2 inches from the pool, then he would have the bigger advantage. And so I'm assuming you had to stand back at a certain thing. I said, I don't know. But I don't think it was a happy place. Multitudes of sick people there. Think about that. Think about every time the water was stirred, and I don't know how often it was. It doesn't seem, by reading, it doesn't sound like it was every hour. It doesn't sound like it was every day. It sounds like it's whenever. I don't know whenever is. But think about this. Multitudes of people, whenever the water was stirred by an angel, one person got healed. So one person was pretty happy. Multitudes of people were fairly upset. Disappointment after disappointment. After disappointment, after disappointment, for year after year, for day after day. Probably most of us, if we're in this guy's position, we probably would just kind of quit and say, I'm not going to be the first one anyway. I might as well go somewhere else and beg money or something. The thing about it is, if this guy would have quit, he would have never been healed. If he would have stopped, he would have never been healed. Now, it is interesting, because he's only doing it, only thing he knows how to do. Only way that this man knows to be able to be well was be the first one in. That's the only thing he knew at the time. And evidently, nobody at that pool had ever heard about Jesus. To us that sounds like, how in the world can people live right there in Jerusalem and never hear about Jesus? But evidently they didn't. But you understand, they also didn't have the internet. They didn't have television. They didn't have radio. They didn't have newspapers. They didn't have magazines. They didn't have movie theaters. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have text messaging. They didn't have, these guys lived in the dark ages, literally. They didn't have all that. But it's interesting, because everywhere that Jesus went, multitudes followed them. And I've often wondered, because, I always overthink a lot of things. I read in the Bible, think about, well, how'd that happen? We see times where Jesus got into a boat and got to the other side of the lake or the river or wherever it was. And when he got to the other side, there was already multitudes lined up. How did that multitude of people know that he was coming? He didn't have a schedule online or anything. He didn't have, Jesus's hour on the radio or something like that, where they could listen to his schedule. I don't know how these people knew, but they just knew, or I guess somebody had a faster boat. And it's interesting, nowadays, if you've ever had a boat or driven a boat or whatever, the speed of the boat is based on horsepower. Horsepower of your motor. See, back then it was based upon manpower. You know, that's where you get the song, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Based upon manpower. And so maybe someone that had faster manpower would go and beat Jesus and begin to tell everybody, hey, come on out to the river because Jesus is coming. So I don't know, but it's kind of interesting because Jesus showed up at this pool and nobody recognized him. Not one person. I mean, this is the most famous person ever to walk the face of the earth. You know, and I'm kind of thinking, well, how come nobody followed him? I mean, maybe nobody there at the pool, you know, they've been there for a long time. They didn't know, but surely somebody would have followed him or something. Or where was his disciples? We don't even hear his disciples were around him. So I don't know. Maybe they were there. Maybe they weren't. There's no indication when Jesus, when Peter's over there cutting people's ears off or anything like that. So we don't know. It's kind of a joke, okay? But so Jesus got to this guy, and he asked him, you know, if he wanted to be healed. And you know, most people when Jesus asked a question, they would say, absolutely. This guy says, I don't have anybody to help me. That was his answer. Somebody beats me in. I mean, you know, so I think what he was trying to say, hey, you know, he didn't know who Jesus was, but he was trying to say, hey, sir, maybe if you stand here with me, the next time the water stirred, you can help me in. You know, I always said, if I was laying there at that pool, man, I would try to figure out a way to hire a guy that is, you know, pretty strong and can throw. Maybe a guy, you know, this, you know, one of these power lifters or whatever. As soon as the water's stirring, you get this guy up and he just like throws you as fast as you can. And hopefully you actually get on the other side and land in the pool. You know, because most pools have an edge kind of like this. And if you don't make it in the pool, it could be a catastrophe. But if you want to see people that do those kind of things, go to YouTube and there's always people, there's always on videos of people that miss the pool. And, you know, so, but I know I think about different things. But here with this man, I mean, think about this. You know, it's pretty hard to think that Jesus came to this man and this man didn't even know who Jesus was. He didn't know anything. He thought, well, maybe you can help push me in. You know, but then Jesus, after he heard this man's story, he says, rise, take up your bed and walk. You know, thank God that he met Jesus that day. Now, I've often wondered, and it doesn't tell us why did Jesus even come to the pool? I just think, it's, you know, that's just the way he is. You know, when he knows someone's in trouble, he comes there to help. You know, and I'm sure this man probably many times has cried out and prayed and whatever. And so Jesus showed up. Because whenever you call him, he shows up. You know, he shows up. And so think about this. For 38 years, this man has not been able to walk. And Jesus came and all of a sudden, everything changed in an instant. His life was completely well. He walked out of that place. Now, what I think is even more interesting is we don't read about anybody else getting healed that day. There were multitudes of sick people there. How come? I don't know. I don't know, but it's interesting to me. But what I want to talk about tonight isn't really the man, isn't really the pool. I want to ask you tonight, what are you waiting on? Because a lot of us Christians, and you know, you understand that this man right here, he didn't even know who Jesus was. But for us, we know who Jesus is. But sometimes even though we know Jesus, we're still waiting on an angel to stir up the water. We're waiting on some kind of sign or wonder or something to happen. Lord, send something to happen. You know, we're being a professional waiter. Now, I know normally you think a waiter is a person that serves you in a restaurant. But now they're called servers and not waiters. Anyone notice that? Now, if you go to a restaurant and it takes forever to get served, then you probably actually have a waiter and not a server. So that's kind of a... That's how to know. If it takes a long time, that's a waiter because he's always waiting. But my point is, say, don't be a waiter. Don't be waiting on anything. Don't be waiting on the bell to ring, the waters to be stirred before you get healed or step in. But also don't be waiting on Jesus to come to you. There are so many Christians that are sitting around waiting on Jesus. Jesus, someday, will you please come and help me? Just like you came to this man and helped him. But see, this is before Jesus died upon the cross. This is before he took the stripes on his back. See, now we have scriptures. We have verses to stand on. We know that by his stripes we were healed. We read that in the New Testament after it happened. We also read it in the Old Testament before it even happened. It was a fulfillment of prophecy. We know what we have in Jesus. We know our rights in Christ. We know the Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from us. But a lot of times when we're facing our situations, our circumstances, our problems, we're crying out, well, Jesus, come and help me. Jesus, come and help me. Where are you at, Jesus? Where are you at, Lord? How come you're not here? You know, but the thing about it is we should know better. Like I said, I've quoted many times. Jesus says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Wherever we are, Jesus is already there. So what are you waiting on? Why are you sitting around waiting? Are you, you know, we'll say, well, I'm waiting on somebody to help me. It is interesting. I've even heard, you know, different times whenever we've done meetings or whatever, and people have told us that they've waited 2 months to get healed for Brother Hagin to come and have a meeting in their town. They've been waiting for this healing. I'm like, why wouldn't you go get healed whenever you got sick? What are you waiting on? And in fact, we also have a scripture that says, believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't say that some famous minister shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It will happen because they're a believer. But it doesn't say you have to wait for somebody special to come and pray for you. All it says is you have to find a believer. And I always say the best people to find way to find a believer. I mean, in Oklahoma, it's not that hard, okay? Majority of people in the United States, actually, according to the statistics, 80% of the United people in the United States are believers. All right, Oklahoma, it's not that hard. We probably have a little higher rate than 80%. Now, not everyone believes exactly like you, but I guarantee you, if you were to go to Walmart today and ask everyone who walked in, are you a believer, the majority of them would say yes. Now, some of them might not come to church very often, except for Easter, Christmas, and, you know, those special holidays. You know, but if you ask them if they were a believer, they would say, yes, I'm a believer. So that's pretty simple. If you need healing, and, you know, obviously come to church, it's full of believers, but maybe you don't have time to go to church, but maybe it's an off-church day. You can show up at Walmart or the mall or Target or any other store. Find a believer and say, hey, can you lay your hands on me? Because the Bible says that believers will lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. I don't care if you believe or not. I believe that you're a believer, and I believe that if you lay your hands on me, I'm going to recover, because that's what the Bible says. See, it doesn't say that they have to believe. It says that you have to believe. Now, I'm saying that because there are a lot of people, we wait. I know people that wait till Sunday. Wait till Wednesday night. Wait to have somebody to pray. I know people, when they get sick, you know, they're sending out emails to everybody to pray. And the only person that's never praying is them. They're waiting. But don't be a waiter. In fact, the scripture, our keynote scripture here at this ministry, Mark 11, 23 and 24, doesn't say be a waiter. It says be a speaker. It says speak to your situation. It says open up your mouth. See, we have been given the authority. We don't have to wait for Jesus to come to us anymore. We have been given the authority in his name that says at his name that demons tremble. We have been given the authority to speak to our problems, to our situation, whether it be a physical situation, financial, emotional, spiritual, whatever situation it might be. Any situation, we have been given the authority to speak to it, not to wait for Jesus, not to wait for the pastor, not to wait for somebody, We don't even have to wait for any other believer. All we have to do is speak to our situation, is to say it with our mouth, believe in our heart, and have what we say. But our faith has to be in God, Mark 11:22. But you know, there are so many Christians, and I'm not saying, maybe most of you probably aren't waiters, but there are so many times that we become waiters. And sometimes, you know, we know what to do, but we forget. We start facing a thing, and because of so many things going on, we forget about our rights in Christ Jesus. I mean, you know, as a minister, it's interesting so many times, and, you know, and I'm not as bold as my grandfather was. I don't know how many times I've heard people tell him, well, Brother Hagin, will you pray for me? He said, no, I agree with you, though. Because he knew that they knew the Bible. He knew that they knew how to speak themselves. And so why did they have to wait on Brother Hagin? You know, and sometimes he would tell them, you know, do you have any faith? But that's what, you know, he's just doing what Jesus did. I mean, you know, when Jesus told the disciples there, whenever he had to rebuke the storm, do you guys have any faith? You know, sometimes, you know, you feel that's how a lot of Christians are. I said most, probably is most, you know, maybe not most of you, but most Christians around the world. We're waiting on Jesus. We're waiting on an angel. We're waiting on somebody. But you know what? We already have somebody. You know, and I always think about the term that actions speak louder than words. And by his various actions, Jesus took the stripes on his back. He died upon the cross. He took your sins. He took everything. And now we have, you know, he died upon the cross. He went to the feet of death, hell, and the grave, and he rose the right hand of the side of the Father. And now we have the authority in the name of Jesus to speak to any situation, but we still sit around waiting on Jesus. You know, sometimes as you hear people pray, and their prayer sounds more like they're begging Jesus. Please, Jesus, help me, Jesus, with sugar on top. You know, it's like, maybe they don't say the sugar on top thing, but it's like they're begging Jesus. The Bible doesn't say beg Jesus. It says believe, not beg. I mean, I've heard some people's prayers, and I think my prayers are bad. You know, and it is interesting, because I hear these people that have these eloquent prayers and stuff. It just can't be that eloquent. I don't think he needs all the rigmarole. I just say, Jesus, this is what's going on in my life. This is my situation. You know, I don't have to put on a special voice. Our Father, who art in heaven, we thank you for the birds and the bees and the apples and the trees and the mountains and the valleys. And I'm glad for all that. But you know what? When I'm going through a situation, I'm not thinking about mountains and trees and birds and bees and flowers and anything else. You know, now I think about that when I sing God Bless America, you know, the ocean's white with foam, all that kind of stuff, you know. But when I'm praying, I'm thinking about a couple of things. In fact, you know, if you ask me to pray for the food before we eat, I'm going to pray for the food. I might pray for the fellowship there. I don't. Pray for the missionaries in China or anybody else there, whenever. Unless you're happily a missionary in China, I might pray for your work. But I know some people, you know, I wonder, do you ever pray? Because every time you do pray, you have this long prayer. So evidently, this is the only time you pray. So you have to get it all out when you eat. But just know, if that's you, I'm never going to ask you to pray for my food, because my prayers are short. You know, because do you realize the purpose of praying for your food is to pray for your food? Do you know I've actually been to places with people who said such a long prayer they forgot to pray for the food? Anybody else been there before? You know, the person was trying to get, and see, I think it's because I'm a minister, people want to get more elaborate, and then they ask me to pray, and they're like, is that all? That's the most important thing. Sanctify the food, nourish my body. So we thank you for, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Good enough for me. Let's eat. Almost dinner time. I mean, you know, but a lot of people are begging Jesus. Well, Jesus, can you stop by here after church and, You know, minister to me. No, he's already there. We don't have to wait for anybody. We don't have to sit around. I mean, I guess the one thing for some people, they said, well, at least the guy's job for 38 years was setting the sun every day. Well, after a while, you know, that wouldn't be that fun. You know, maybe you like to take a vacation for a couple of days, sit in the sun by a body of water. But after a while, after 38 years, this guy was tired of sitting, you know, by the pool. I mean, you know, that's all he could do. But you know what? The thing is, this guy was doing everything that he could do. The only thing he knew how to get healed was to sit by that pool. But the thing about it is, we have more knowledge. You know, the Bible says that people perish for lack of knowledge. We have plenty of knowledge. We've read the Bible, and if you haven't read the Bible, go get one and read it. Not only that we have the Bible, we have many great Christian books, not only by us, but by other great authors that you can go out there and you can read and you can learn more about the Bible. But the point is, you don't have to wait anymore. You don't have to wait on an angel. You don't have to wait on Jesus. You don't have to wait on nobody. You don't have to wait on your brother. You don't have to wait on your pastor. You don't have to wait on your parents. You don't have to wait. So my point is tonight, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? You don't have to wait for someone to tell you to get up and walk. You just go do it. Just go do it. Just get up. Just begin to walk. Just begin to act like the Bible's true. I don't know how many times that my grandfather said, you know, you need to act like the Bible's true. Because so many people don't. They're always griping and complaining about what they don't have and what this and what that. And you know, I say it every time I preach, be a doer of God's word. What's being a doer? Doing what the Bible says. Not waiting around for somebody to minister or somebody to say something or somebody, you know, you have the authority to speak to your situation, to your problem, to your circumstance. You know, and I think that there's too many of us Christians, and sometimes, like I said, we've even spoken to other situations and circumstances, but for whatever reason, we're going through a thing that either we've never battled before or whatever, and we just kind of lose hope. And we realize it's because of the devil that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he'll cause you to lose hope, but we need to remember Jesus. Like I spoke on Sunday morning, remember Jesus is right there with you. Never leave you nor forsake you. You don't have to wait for him to come to your pool, to come to your house, or to come to your bedroom, to come to your car, to come to your office, or wherever. He's already there. All you have to do is call upon his name. All you have to do is speak to your situation. And everything can change in an instant when you just speak to your situation. So quit waiting on Jesus, because Jesus is waiting on you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for each and every person that's here tonight. And Father God, we thank you that next time we're in any situation where it seems that we're waiting around, help us to understand, help us to have a knowing on the inside that we can speak to this situation, that we can talk to this situation, that we can just get up and we can walk and get through it every single time. Help us understand that you're always with us. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. Help us to know that Jesus is right there with us, wherever we might be. And Father God, we just thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. Let's all stand up. I gave you 4 minutes early, so be sure to tell Mom, Dad I'll let you guys out early, because he'll never believe you, because it's almost 4 a.m. there, so he's sleeping, so he didn't get to watch it, you know, but he's always making sure. He wants to make sure I let you guys out on time. Don't speak forever. So, and I try to do the best job I can, especially if he's watching. But I'll let you guys out and he's not even watching. All right. If you're a first-time visitor, we're so glad to have you with us tonight. And we actually have a special gift for you. So we have a connection team there. They want to take you back and they want to give you a special gift. And we want to thank you for coming. And if you're from this area, we invite you to make this your church home. If you're not from this area, every time you're in this area, we invite you to come here, make this your church home away from home. Amen? Amen. Well, the way we do things on Wednesday night is if you need prayer for anything, whether salvation, whether the Holy Spirit, whether it's healing, whatever it might be, then we have women and men down here ready, willing, and able to pray for you. Of course, what I always tell you, if you're a woman, you go to this side and find a woman. If you're a man, you go to that side and find a man. If you don't know what you are, we have these great ushers here that wear in red, and they will help explain what you are, and they'll take you to the appropriate place. All right, and you have to say that nowadays because we live in a weird world. All right, God bless you. Take care and quit waiting on Jesus because he's waiting on you. Have a great day. Dad and Mom will be back here with us on Sunday morning. Enjoy your weekend and stay dry. God bless you guys.